Welcome to this interview with Mitch Guzet and Ralph Mrose, authors of Value Acceleration. Today we wanted to talk to them a little bit more about their book and the messaging behind it to give you some insight into how the book can impact your value acceleration. Mitch, can you talk about your background briefly and how long you've been sharing the ideas in the book with companies, and then Ralph, you can tell us too?
Sure. I'm an engineer by training and escaped engineering many years ago and worked my way into marketing and spent many years in marketing and then moved on to general management, primarily in high technology companies but also in consumer products and software companies. And I've been sharing the ideas that are in this book in the pieces that I contributed over probably the last 15 years and really very seriously over the last 8 years.
And Ralph, do you want to talk a little bit about your background?
Sure. Like Mitch, I'm an engineer by training and spent most of my early career in high-tech product management. Wound up going to a startup and doing some independent consulting after that, and sort of backed into my contributions to the book in that I found myself leaving my early clients' list of things to do after I was no longer there. And after a while, the list started to look pretty similar, so I thought there might be a process behind all these things that I was putting down as independent actions. And that's how I sort of backed into the process notion that that underlies a lot of the book.
Okay. And your book's message and model is garnering much buzz as people search for a defined marketing sales accountability process. And the reason that we want to cover this is because it seems like you guys have been talking about this a long time, and now there's really, really a hard search for how to define these. What do you think is the most misunderstood in terms of a model to use?
Well, Maddie, I think probably the biggest issue is one that you can trace back to the application of business process in all areas of business. And the first thing people try to do is resistance. And they said on Star Trek, resistance is futile. And the truth of the matter is that what's happening with marketing now is that there's a tremendous amount of pressure being placed on marketing to justify, if you will, their expenditures. And it was delayed probably 8 or 9 years due to the dot-com boom and then the dot-com bust. But now management's coming around and looking at large expenditures in marketing and asking themselves, how do we measure this? And they're no longer accepting, well, you can't measure it. It's too nebulous. And I think the real difficulty that we're having is where to start. And like everything else, people are starting at the end trying to figure out how to make precise measurements of imprecise things, rather than starting at the beginning with a process. And I think that people misunderstand that if you don't have a defined process, you can't even begin to understand where to measure. Ralph, what did I leave out there?
I think you've hit the nail pretty much on the head, Mitch. I think people still regard marketing, and marketing, by the way, is the last bastion in the enterprise that is not yet process managed.
Right.
People still regard marketing as sort of something for which you can only create a proper atmosphere for gifted people,
right,
as opposed to truly managing it in a more rigorous and scientific way. So I think the necessity of process management is something that still escapes people a bit. But as Mitch said, they're coming around. And I think that part of that resistance is people think that a process has to be some kind of straitjacket. It doesn't leave room for experience or creativity, and it's just the opposite, of course. Process actually enables creative and experienced people to get the most leverage out of their experience and their intuition.
So the one of the things that I hear you guys saying that's really important is for people to understand that implementing a process does not have to be a painful experience. It's just that it's actually an empowering thing.
Absolutely, and everybody else has figured that out. It's just taken a long time, and now marketing is going through exactly the same methods and exactly the same pain and exactly the same process, if you will, of applying business process that every other activity in business, manufacturing, design and development, human resources, accounting, they've all been through it, and marketing's just the last function to go through.
So the other term that comes up is the term marketing dashboard, and I know that that's a term that's being used a lot. And how does that relate to marketing and sales and what you guys are talking about?
Well, again, building off what Ralph and I said in our previous answer, what people want to do is hurry up and measure something. And so what's happening is they're putting up fancy dashboards, and you can equate a dashboard to the dashboard of your car.
Right.
You know, and you have gauges and you have dials and things on your dashboard. And I suspect that many of our listeners have a tachometer on the dashboard of their car, even though they have an automatic transmission. In other words, it's measuring something that turns out to be irrelevant.
Right.
And the problem with dashboards is you don't have a process and you don't know what to measure. You can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars developing a gorgeous dashboard that gives you lots of data but no information.
So, Ralph, let's talk a little bit about how a company should know what to measure. When Mitch was saying you can spend a lot on these dashboards, but you still need to know what to measure. Specifically, you have to measure how your process model is working within the marketing sales once you put it in. Is that correct?
Pretty much. I mean, we need to go back to understanding exactly what a process model is, and a process model is a reflection of the way your company operates and the way it needs to operate. So unless you understand what's happening and where and how you want things to happen, you really don't know what to measure. You're just measuring things based on intuition that don't give you a guide as to how to change better for the future. That is, without understanding an underlying process model, taking random measurements of an activity doesn't tell you how, when you change something, the output's going to be affected. You need to understand the process to do that.
I think that's a great point, too, and a great word that often is associated with marketing and sales is the intuition part of it. And what I hear you guys saying is that you can still bring those intuitive talents, but if you have a process to back them up, you actually can have those at a more powerful range, right?
The analogy we use in the book, and I think it's probably the most apt, is, you know, for a long time medicine was pretty much intuition based,
right?
And you know, science didn't really come into it until we had an underlying process model of how the body worked with basic biology and physiology, etc. And today, you would hope that your doctor does two things when he's trying to make a difficult diagnosis and treatment of you. You would hope that he or she has a really, really good underlying process model to work from. That is, how your body works, how various medicines intervene and cause your body to change. And you would hope that this doctor also had a really good, rich set of experience from which to draw intuition.
Right.
And the two of them are synergistic. You can't really have one without the other.
Right.
Yeah, if you have a bad process model for the body, all of your intuition won't help you.
Right.
And vice versa.
Exactly. And the other piece of the puzzle is that in many cases when you say process to people who've not been through it, what they translate in their brain is bureaucracy.
Right.
And bureaucracy, as Peter Schutz made famous, is created by giving people the power to say no without the authority to say yes. And that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. We're talking about creating a process so that people understand the contributions that they're making towards an outcome that the company's trying to achieve.
Right. That's wonderful. And what are some of the, getting back to your book and the things that people are talking about in regard to your book, what do you think are some really important takeaways from your book?
Well, of course, we're biased, but then we're supposed to be. We believe that there's two big things in our book. One is the whole idea of needing a process model and the ability to use traditional business process improvement methods to improve marketing and sales. And the other breakthrough is the idea that we look at marketing and sales as a manufacturing-like process where what you're trying to produce are loyal, profitable customers. And the breakthrough for us was once we figured out that analogy actually stood up, many of the business process improvement methods that have been applied in the last 50 years in the traditional manufacturing arena, such as constraint theory, lean thinking, Six Sigma, continuous improvement, etc., apply directly to the marketing and sales process. So the good news for marketing is they don't have to be dragged through all of the fads that their counterparts and other functions went through that turned out not to work, and they can focus on the ones that actually do help improve the business process.
That's great. Did you have some others, Ralph, that you think are...
Actually, I would have one very short and sweet takeaway from the book, and that is marketing can be understood.
Right. And so when you guys go into companies and you start talking about this process model, it seems like what would happen is after the initial kind of worry about it, as you go into it, people might have a sense of relief that there is a way to measure their efforts and that they can place value upon their efforts and see the things that are most fruitful work and apply those again and again. Is that often the case?
Absolutely. I mean, two things are true. One is, once people get over the fear that this is not going to put them in a straitjacket,
right.
Management loves it because finally they begin to understand what's going on in marketing, and marketing loves it because they begin to get the respect that they've been wanting without the straitjacket they were fearing was going to be required in order to get that respect.
Right. And so it really is, it also allows teams to work together better where there's not that separation between what that marketing is doing as opposed to what the CEO is doing or the CTO. I mean, it sounds like if you have that process model to draw from, then everyone kind of knows what everyone else is doing and how they can enrich that for each little department. Is that often the case?
Well, sure. I mean, once a process describes, or you can describe a process in many ways, but it typically describes who does what to whom when, and what kind of commitments you owe to other organizations. Once you've got that mapped out, it not only adds effectiveness, as Mitch was talking about, to an organization, but it certainly adds a lot of efficiency and eliminates a lot of hurt feelings and stepped on toes and people crossing over into each other's territory.
Right. So how does this model apply across the board to companies who are interested in staying competitive and ahead in the expanding global marketplace? Because there's a lot about lean process, lean manufacturing, so I like how you brought that into this discussion in regard to your book and how it's a very similar process. How does this help people stay competitive, and what are the demands, especially now because the world is flat, as Thomas Friedman says?
Well, I guess one of the keys, Nettie, is that there's been a lot of research done on sustainable competitive advantage, and one of the things that very smart people have discovered is that the application of business process improvement models and business processes deliver sustainable competitive advantage to companies. And the last area where a company can truly leapfrog the competition is by applying process to marketing. And we've looked at how to do that, and we believe that our book helps companies understand what it takes to do that and how to get started doing it. The model that we propose is a useful model regardless of whether you're a service company or a manufacturing company, because it looks at the overarching integration between marketing and sales,
right,
and the need for the linkage between marketing and sales, and to help create alignment between marketing and sales and marketing and the rest of the company.
And so touching on that too, what are some of the things that you both see happening in the next 12 months that are going to continue, that are really driving this need for lean thinking and the application of it in terms of the marketing and sales?
I think the biggest driver is the fact that the world is increasingly competitive, increasingly global, and companies have found and are continuing to find ways to drive costs out of every other aspect of their business.
Right.
And there's a huge amount of money being spent in marketing.
Right.
And on top of that, some of that money is not effective. And
right.
So where the CFO is going to be looking, where the board of directors is going to be looking, and therefore where the CEO has to start looking is, how do I gain more effectiveness and more efficiency in my marketing and sales function? And without business process applied, they're going to do what they've always done. Cut it 20% and see what
right.
happens.
So, Ralph, can you talk a little bit about how the because I love what you guys are saying about if a CFO looks at this, if a CEO looks at this, they can actually understand this book. One of the things about the book is that it is very engaging, and so even if you're not a CMO, it's a book that anyone in the CXO title range could read and apply and get a better understanding of what those marketing guys are doing. So can you guys talk a little bit about that and how it benefits maybe each title?
Sure. I mean, if no matter who you are in the company, you do well if the company does well. So everybody has a vested interest in making the company competitive. And look, there is no other place anymore to wring out. I mean, you can't look to operations for competitive advantage anymore. Every world-class company has already has world-class operations and has already wrung out most of the competitive advantage that they're going to out of their operations. The only remaining place to look is actually at the core of what the company does, and that is making sure that you align your capabilities with the needs of the customers. That's what marketing is. It's the only thing that a company can't outsource, and it is the only function that really hasn't been process managed yet in the company. So by looking at marketing, defined in that way, as a process and bringing process management to it, you really get sort of a double whammy. One is you start to process manage something that hasn't been process managed and get the competitive advantage out of that, but you're doing it with extraordinarily high leverage because you're doing it with regard to the very core thing that the company is all about,
right?
Bringing customers to you.
Right.
To piggyback on that and to reinforce what Ralph said, in order to gain a competitive advantage, you have to do something better than and before than others. In every other area of the business, there are world-class companies doing world-class business process execution of every other process.
Right.
In the best case you can do is you can gain competitive parity by being better at manufacturing or by being better at product development. There's somebody out there who's probably already very good at it. In the area of marketing process and marketing and sales process, the best companies are still pretty much mediocre because the whole idea of true business process improvement and looking at it as a true business process rather than an art form has not really taken hold. And so leading companies have the unique opportunity, again, to jump ahead of the competition by doing something that they haven't gotten around to yet, which is the logical next step of the application of business process to the last remaining area.
And so what are the great ahas that you have people say once you go in there, and just real quickly to wrap this up, too, that come out of them having either read the book or read the book in tandem with you guys coming in and beginning the process, beginning to put a process in place? Are there things that you hear continuously, either during or after it's implemented, from folks that you work with?
Sure. I mean, the single biggest aha comes before people get started, which is the idea that you can look at marketing and sales as a manufacturing-like process, whether you're in the service business or the manufacturing business. The idea of, quote, manufacturing customers or producing customers resonates with people. Once they see that analogy, then introducing them to the business process improvement techniques of constraint theory, lean thinking, Six Sigma, etc., is much easier. And like every other function before them, once they find out that these tools are not about causing them to lose their job like reengineering did in the 70s and 80s, but more about helping the company get a competitive advantage that's sustainable, people love it.
Right.
Yeah, I would say pretty much the same thing, too. I mean, what we believe we've done is bring some synthesis and some order to the hundreds and hundreds of individual marketing activities that there are out there. And if you're living in the trenches, if you're trying to do one of those activities day by day or manage a section of those activities, it's hard sometimes to see the big picture until someone paints it for you.
Right.
And once we paint that big picture, that's where we see a lot of the, oh, yeah, I get it now.
Right. Well, thank you so much.